Welcome to The Sower, a podcast of the Ciceronian Society, an interdisciplinary group of Christian scholars dedicated to the study of tradition, place, and things divine. To learn more about our annual conference, our journal Pietas, and more, visit ciceroniansociety.org. I'm Christopher Annadale, and this episode is one in a series focused on the theme of place, what it means to have a place, and how our rootedness affects our personal, familial, and social lives. On this episode of The Sower, the place we'll be looking at is Wake Forest, North Carolina. And here to introduce us to Wake Forest is Dr. Josh Herring. He earned his doctorate in humanities from Faulkner University in 2023 and also holds an MDiv from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary and a BA from Hillsdale College. He currently serves as professor of classical education at Thales College in North Carolina, helping to develop a new model of higher education as part of the classical renewal movement. He also hosts the podcast, The Optimistic Curmudgeon. Josh and his wife live in Wendell, North Carolina. Josh, welcome to The Sower.
Thanks, Chris. It's so great to be here.
You're another person who spoke with me at the Ciceronian Society annual conference back at the end of February, beginning of March 2024, when I announced an idea for this podcast series. And you were eager to talk with us about your roots in the Wake Forest, North Carolina area. Why don't we just jump right in? What is it about Wake Forest that is so important to you?
It's a great question. It's been a really interesting place to live. It's where I sort of unintentionally moved after college. I did, as you mentioned, I did undergrad in Hillsdale, Michigan. I'm from Virginia originally. I grew up in the Hampton Roads area. But as one does, right after college, I was sort of following the route of opportunity. And that ended up being interning at my dad's church and then feeling a call to ministry and then heading 3 hours south to Wake Forest, North Carolina. And it was fall of 2011, and it's hard to believe that that's now been 13 years. But 13 years ago, I moved into seminary housing, and I've been here ever since. And in the 13 years since, this area has just boomed, and it keeps being a place of great opportunity. There's all these institutions in Wake Forest and the surrounding area that seem to make it that for a lot of people. There's the seminary that really becomes a resource to a lot of area churches. There is a really business-friendly climate in the state of North Carolina that's been, the legislature has been trying to cultivate lots of positive business relationships for at least the last 40 years. And that has led to an enormous amount of growth. And then over really the last probably 7 or 8 years, it's just been noticeable how many more people and institutions are coming into the area. I took a job teaching at Thales Academy in the summer of 2013. I had no idea that here, like literally about 2 miles from my apartment, was the first of what is now 13 classical private schools that were founded by a local Raleigh businessman who really wanted to change the world through education. And all of that's happening just right here. And Wake Forest is not a particularly loud town. You won't find Wake Forest on the list of the best cities to move to necessarily, but it's quickly becoming one of those. Just last weekend, my wife and I went to a Wake Forest tradition. It's called Meet in the Street, where all the local vendors and all the businesses will put up, they'll do booths, and there's food and there's knickknacks for sale. And we've lived here long enough that we actually do meet people that we know in the street. And we have just formed a lot of different relationships with folks over the years. So I really do love Wake Forest. It's a great place to live. I'm 35 now, so I would have been 22, 23 when I moved here. And in a lot of ways, it's a place where I've kind of figured out, okay, here's what it means to be an adult. Here's what it means to be a professional. Here's what it means to go through grad school and figure out teaching and learning and eventually up through now working at the college. So I could say a lot more, but it's a great place to be.
Sounds remarkable. Now, I wonder, you said it's growing, the population's growing, and you've been there for more than a decade. Does it have the same kind of feel that it had when you came there, allowing for the fact that you're in your mid-30s now and were originally there in your early 20s?
It's hard to say. So I know I've talked to folks who've been here a lot longer than I have, because the town is, I think, over 200, maybe. I want to think there's a sign that says, I believe Wake Forest was established in the 1780s. So it's an old town in an old state. But so when I talk to folks who've lived here for a long time, they'll talk about really 25 years ago, there was nothing in between Wake Forest and Raleigh. There's about 10 miles between those two cities where you get into what we call North Raleigh. And now there's housing, there are grocery stores, there are car lots that just all throughout those 10 miles. A lot of that was there 10 years ago. But 10 years ago, you could buy a house in Wake Forest for probably between $200,000 and $250,000. Today, you can't really be in Wake Forest proper in a house you'd want to live in for less than, say, probably $350,000, $400,000, I would say. So it's just gotten, it's the place where a lot of people want to be. We saw a very large influx of people from California and New York during COVID. There's been in downtown Wake Forest itself, there's now a food hall. There's a, it's not called WeWork, but it's the kind of WeWork thing where like you can, if you work freelance, you can get an office space there. I've lost track of how many breweries have opened in Wake Forest in the last few years. There's new restaurants. I mean, it's just but I don't know how much of that is just I'm now paying attention to it and wasn't then, or if it really is new. But it certainly feels to me like it something that really just started happening just a few years ago.
Right. No, I understand a lot of things that are going on. You only really notice when you begin looking for a house to buy, and that sort of thing. A lot of things change when you get a mortgage, as they say. Do you think that the housing inflation you just mentioned has changed the type of people who can and will move to Wake Forest? Are this decade's Josh Herrings getting priced out of relocating to Wake Forest, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, certainly I can tell you our story. I mean, we had an apartment in North Raleigh, and we're looking at where to go. And this was 2017. And in 2017, we could not afford to be in Wake Forest and buy a house on two teachers' salaries. So that's a particular bandwidth of salary pay, obviously. I have friends who could afford to buy houses in Wake Forest, but they had higher paying careers and so on. So I would suspect, yes, that there are plenty of people who are being priced out of moving into Wake Forest today. Wake Forest today tends to be people who are on their second, third, or fourth home. They've just built a lot of equity. They built a lot of stability, and then they move into Wake Forest. We had some friends who invited us to a derby party last week, and they're in Wake Forest. And I mean, that was just there was a neighborhood that people specifically kind of watched the houses. If a house went up for sale, there's a lot of people who are paying attention to that neighborhood because there are limited houses that people want to get. So it's certainly a hot real estate market, I think. But that certainly is a reality here in this whole area in Wake County. There are so many housing developments that are going up kind of all throughout. But now the more affordable areas are kind of down towards the south and west of Raleigh, in Wendell and Knightdale and Zebulon and Bunn. You get out towards, and then if you get too far, you get towards Chapel Hill, and that's got its own price issues if you're out towards Pittsburgh and Carrboro and that sort of thing.
Right. Of course. And development brings that, right? You have sort of new emerging patterns and commuting patterns, living patterns, rising and falling sort of values and sort of social cachet of different neighborhoods and areas and towns. What's your read on the relations between the sort of old timers, the people who've been there for 30 years, people in your range who've been there for a decade, between one and two decades, and people who are just the brand newcomers, the people who came 2 years ago from California? Do they all have the same kind of feel about the place, or do you think there's a sort of class division?
Well, that's a really interesting question. And I don't No, I don't know how to answer that beyond just the limited network of my own circles. I know a few folks in each of those categories, and my guess, and it's no more than a guess, is that folks who have moved here from out of state, particularly from California, New York, most of them have come here wanting something different. They want a slower pace of life, or they want more business freedom, or at least less intrusive governance policies. That tends to be what folks are seeking. Folks who have been here for a while, there's just this. I remember my wife and I noticing this just a couple of years into being here, because my wife's from Maryland. I mentioned I'm from Virginia. Both of us grew up in areas where people expected to go away for college. Folks who have been here, who have grown up here, it's very difficult to get them to consider college options outside of North Carolina. The local schools are, depending on how, if you judge schools kind of like the typical metrics, they're very strong. There's North Carolina State University, there's UNC Chapel Hill, the flagship of the whole UNC system. There's Duke University, and there's a bunch of smaller schools as well that are right here in the area. So I think folks who've been here for any amount of time tend to want to stay. And I think in the Wake Forest area in particular, as part of in the wider Raleigh area, there is this sense of kind of growing prosperity that's also here. I mean, it's a we've got on the other side of the county, we've got an area called the Research Triangle Park that has just a ton of big multinational businesses. It's really big in the biopharmaceutical space and the tech sector. So there's all of that that's happening as well. But then there keep being these other organizations, like smaller businesses, that are also kind of starting up and finding success. So my sense, at least, is that folks who have come here, like they do want to be here. I don't know that we have a lot of folks that are like, oh, I'm only going to be here in the Wake Forest, Raleigh area for a year. We have a few of those. I mean, I met a guy whose chosen career path was to be a travel nurse, and he was here for 6 weeks and he was gone. But most folks tend to stick around, I think.
That's interesting. I was just reminded of by something you said about an observation a friend of mine made some months ago, that he really thinks that the institution of going away to college, this social expectation among a certain kind of suburban, prosperous class of people from which I came, and probably you as well, you and your wife as well, this expectation that you will go away to college, or at least consider going away to college to find, of course, the best college, get the best education, et cetera, et cetera. He thinks that's really pernicious, and it does break up, he thinks, local clusters. We were contrasting our experience. Both of us attended college far from home for a time, with the experience of a friend of ours who has many children, the oldest of which are now getting married, but they're settling down within a couple of miles of mom and dad. And then there's this sort of growing, sort of extended family immediately around him. And my friend's observation was, this is the kind of local sort of multi-generational culture you can get if you don't have this sort of programming, cultural programming, which tells you that going away to college is the normal and expected thing. Do you have any thoughts on that?
At least two. You reminded me of a parent my wife and I met at Meet in the Street last weekend. She was telling me about her son. I taught her son in high school when I was teaching for Thales Academy, and her son's name is Jack, and he ended up going to UNC Charlotte. And Jack is there with probably three or four other guys that are all from this area, went to Thales Academy Rollsville. Some of them went to Thales Academy Wake Forest as elementary school students. But they're all living together in a house that they got as rising seniors in college. Now they're probably going to scatter to a bunch of other places when they get out of college. But I just thought it was very interesting that they went away to this different college. They wanted a bigger world, bigger experience, like a lot of high school students want when they're thinking about college. And yet they gravitated to their friends who had the same experiences they did, who shared the same sets of values that they received from their family, from their initial schooling, and are now going through this new school, but they're doing it together. And I just think that's very interesting that there's not a lot of folks who have that experience today, is my impression. I think instead you get more of the atomized experience of, I'm leaving behind everyone that I know and everyone who could make a claim on me saying, well, I knew you when you were 6 years old in my Sunday school class. You leave those folks behind when you go to college. I do think it changes the college experience if you're still in touch with all those parts of your own past. It's part of what the other thought I had on that was that we found that at Thales College, we're a non-residential college in Wake Forest, and probably 60 to 70% of our students are still living at home and they're commuting in. And that's really been good for them on a lot of levels. And these are strong academic performing students. They have strong work ethic, but it saves them a lot of money to still live at home. And it still keeps them nestled within those same relationships. So they can still be big brother, big sister. They can still be there for baptisms and christenings and weddings and funerals and all those things without really sacrificing their collegiate experience. And I think that's really, that may very well be part of the wave of the collegiate future, because I think the ability to just have these huge universities that are far, far away, it depends on a certain economic model. And every time I think for the last couple of years, I don't think more than a month has gone by where I haven't seen news of some college closing. And as that economic model sort of closes down, I think the model we're trying to develop is say, you know, you need a small, relationally driven collegiate community with good professors in a stable environment. That doesn't have to be huge. It also doesn't have to provide all of the amenities that have created such a problem for the modern university. So I wonder if that may be where college education is going in the future, sort of recovering that college environment that doesn't ask students to leave hearth and home necessarily, while still being able to really give that strong collegiate academic experience.
Yeah, my next question was going to be about Thales College. So it's good to hear. That's interesting. So it's a non-residential college. So you have a lot of commuter students. You don't expect people to move from, say, Denver to the Wake Forest area. So it really is limited to the students who are within driving distance, within commuting distance. I mean, it's a local institution.
Yes. I would say yes and no. That's our primary expectation. But we have had, we have a student from currently coming from Virginia. We have a student, we have two students I know of who are enrolling in the fall. One's coming from Pennsylvania, one's coming from Florida. So when we have out-of-state students, now we still don't provide housing for them, but we have a list of realtors that we set them up with to try and find who have access to apartments on different price ranges. So whether they want to set up roommate situations or get their own place, we help them with the connections to know how they can set up housing. But it is very much that kind of local. It is a very local institution, I would say. But we also think what we're providing is something that could be great for people from all over the place.
I see. Thanks for putting me right about that. I appreciate that. I was wondering, beyond Thales College, what are some of the other local institutions in Wake Forest? Like, what are the sort of big pillars that might stretch back 20 or 30 or 50 years that the people would associate themselves with, regardless of how long they've been there?
Probably one of the biggest ones in Wake Forest proper is going to be Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. That was founded in the 1950s. And I just still think it's a really funny story. In the early 1950s, this was the campus that is now Southeastern was Wake Forest University. The Southern Baptist Convention was looking for a Southeastern regional seminary. And simultaneously, there were a bunch of Baptist tobacco farmers out in Winston-Salem that wanted a Baptist college in their neck of the woods that could compete with Methodist Duke University. And so a coalition of these tobacco farmers approached, I suppose, the trustees or the president at Wake Forest University and said, hey, if you will move out here to Winston-Salem, we will build you a brand new state-of-the-art campus. Just come be here in Winston-Salem. Well, they promptly sold their campus to Wake Forest, to the Southern Baptist Convention. And so still to this day, if you go into Steele Halls, the administrative hall on Southeastern's campus, if you look on the floor, there's a big WFU for Wake Forest University seal that's still there.
Oh, wow.
That's probably one of the ones that, I mean, it's the things you don't know when you go to an institution. I didn't realize just how common it was for people to settle in the area of the last school that they attended. But that's a pretty frequent pattern. And so there are a lot of folks in the area who have ties to Southeastern. So that's certainly one I would say. I think this is right next door to the seminary, but there is a street that's called Professor Rowe. It has a bunch of old timey houses that have been pretty well maintained. 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, in some cases a little bit earlier style houses. And every year there is I think it's around Halloween, there's an opportunity, you can arrange for a tour to kind of go through. And these houses are currently inhabited. So it's the houses you can go into always depend on homeowners have opened their homes for the tour group. My wife and I did that one year, and it was just really, really, it was really neat. Maybe two others come to mind. It depends on how broadly you're willing to consider the word institution. There's a great park system in Wake Forest, and it participates in something we call the Greenway, where there's a network of paths, hiking trails, biking trails that literally stretch all across the county. So that's just a great part of Wake Forest. The other one I'll mention, cool. This one's not totally unique to Wake Forest, but there's a really big thriving community with it here. There's a men's workout organization called F3 that has they recently incorporated their Northeast Wake regional identity that is based right here out of Wake Forest. So any given weekday morning, there's somewhere between 20 and 50 men and somewhere in Wake Forest who are working out in a public access location from 5:30 to 6:15 in the morning. And that's just a great way to build community and get to know some other guys. It's always free, happens rain or shine. And that's another way I've gotten kind of plugged into some more community here in Wake Forest. So I don't know that people who don't know about that would not list that as an institution in Wake Forest, but it's certainly been an important one for me over the last 5 or 6 years.
Sure. That's fantastic. That sounds really interesting. This is new to me because I live in a rural area and I've lived in rural spaces for decades now. And so part of my thinking about localism and local institutions is thinking in terms of the very small and the somewhat isolated with the problems that carries. It sounds like you're describing a kind of community and maybe a certain kind of localism within a much more prosperous environment, a much more dense environment with a sort of a rising wave of prosperity. What's your experience of rootedness, of trying to put down roots in that sort of environment where things are changing, property values are going up, more people are coming? There's a sort of connection. There are some large scale institutions which seem relatively permanent, but other things seem to be in flux. It sounds like you're still finding small groups of guys or, you know, people and institutions to participate in that are very meaningful for you. What's that been like?
Well, that's a fun thing to think about. Part of that has been my wife and I got plugged into a great local church, Christ Covenant Church. It's technically in North Raleigh, but it's a commuter church. We were there for 12 years. And that was a place of just a lot of stability. Same kind of dynamic where you're always finding smaller groups of people that you get to know on a deeper level within the larger organization. My experience has been one of being connected to possibly temporary organizations, but then finding that I really am connected there more longer term than I expected. It took me 5 years to work through my MDiv program at Southeastern. I did a lot of hybrid weekends and night classes. But I thought in 2016, I was like, okay, this has been a good set of years and I'm done. But over the following 8 years, I keep finding, there keep being conferences they hold or events they hold, or I've now got friends on their faculty that I get together with every now and again. So that was less temporary than I expected. Working for Thales Academy has been another way that really became more permanent. I took that job teaching, expecting it to just be a way to pay the bills for a couple of years, and then I would get into professional ministry. And that God ended up changing the calling from preaching to teaching. And that really suddenly, and I learned that schools are kind of unique. I think they're very unique institutions, because for particularly we're thinking about K-12, you've got groups of students and groups of parents that are sort of all bound together by the grade system for a number of years. And in my context, I had the opportunity to teach, in some cases, the same children for 4 out of their 6 years in middle school and high school. And what happens with that is you start to get kind of networked in. They bring their teachers into their community. That was a really big piece of it. But along the way, I don't mean to suggest that everybody is always here. Like, people come, people go, because we have a pretty high turnover rate as a company and or for teachers at Thales. But I tend to usually wait a couple of years to really become friends with people to see if they're still going to be around for a couple of years. Probably one other way that's been, this is just getting, we're getting further and further down into the rabbit hole with this, but, I found several years ago that I just have a deep passion for coaching debate, and, coaching debate is another great way to form a tight-knit community of students and teachers and parents who are all bound together in this kind of activity. My wife found the same thing to be true with coaching volleyball. And that too became a way of building stable, kind of stable community for a time. And then the more of those things you do, the longer you're involved, you pick up more obligations, but you also are building steady long-term relationships with people over the years. So I don't know if that really answers your question, but that's at least, those are at least my initial thoughts on that question.
Well, I think that's a great answer. Let me ask you one more follow-up, if I could, along the same lines. Was there a time or an experience where you sort of realized, or it dawned on you that this really was your place now, that you were on the edge of becoming a lifer? You referred to things that were unplanned and to sort of staying at the town of the last school that you attended. But is there a point at which you say, yeah, this is it. This is where I'm going to be, you know, unless something changes?
It actually happened. I probably had that realization, I want to say 2, maybe 3 years ago. I would periodically get into a posture of wanting to make more money than my current job would pay. And I went through a season where I was very actively interviewing with different organizations, and had a couple. I made it through to a couple of opportunities that never to like the actual like job offer point, but enough that we were talking about real numbers. And I always found that very helpful. What I learned out of that experience, well, this is part one of two. Like, I learned out of that experience that I'm actually very well compensated for doing the things that I love, and that actually making a big push for a salary increase would probably require me to be willing to move to somewhere else. But every time we would get to that point of thinking, are we really willing to move? All of these different connections and friendships and institutions and annual patterns and habits and of knowing, I know that we want to go have dinner at Heron's for the anniversary. Like, I've got an anniversary spot. There was, for I think 7 years, I bought my wife a piece of jewelry for Christmas at one jewelry store. Like, there's all these things that would have to change if we went to a different place. And the money is very helpful. It's very helpful to know, okay, if I keep doing what I'm doing, we're going to have this margin and all that. But honestly, it was far more the people. It's far more the relationships that have kept us here, and I think we'll continue. The other thing, and this is, I'm sure if the right opportunity came along, we could get past this. But every time we complete a major house project, my wife and I look at each other and are like, we are that much more rooted here. We don't have kids yet. We don't have those kinds of memories connected with the house, but we've replaced the flooring. We've painted the walls. We have installed floor to ceiling bookshelves. We have put on a big deck. We have replaced the HVAC. We intentionally bought a fixer upper and we have fixed it up, and it is closer than it's ever been to being the house that we want to live in.
Well, you say to yourself, you didn't do that for somebody else. You did that for you.
No, I did. I want to be able to go sit on my back deck and enjoy the sunrise or the sunset, and or think about whether or not we need to do something about the mosquitoes, that sort of thing. Like, all of that, starting over or just stepping into somebody else's version of that, that would take a big mental move. And I think it's that much easier to just make, we built our home into a place that we can have, we can make it into a place of hospitality. And that's what we want to do. So those are really two things in the last couple of years where we've thought about. I mean, I've looked at, I love Hillsdale College. They are doing some amazing work. It would take a major move mentally for us to be willing to like live in Hillsdale, Michigan. I'm cautiously more optimistic than I used to be about the University of Austin project down in Texas. They made some great hiring decisions in the last couple of months, and that's just really cool. I just don't know that I want to live that far away from family. I don't know that I want to be in Austin. So it just, all of those things are like, make me really happy to be where I'm at and love being here.
That makes sense. Do you suppose that this sort of increased attachment to your connections, especially social connections and people versus the money and what the money can do, right? When you're very young, you care about money perhaps the most. Do you think that's an effect of age or of experience, or do you think that flows somehow from your disposition, that you're the kind of person who probably, so by being the kind of person and character that you are, was going to settle down after a certain amount of time?
I would imagine it has a lot more to do with my own disposition. I come from a family that was always interested in people. My dad's a pastor. My mom's a teacher. And both of those professions go back down the lineage in a lot of ways. For any Hillsdale College alumni listening to your show, we'll get the joke. There's a sign when you go across the line into Hillsdale County or into the town of Hillsdale where it just says Hillsdale, Michigan. It's the people. And as only college kids would do, we made fun of that slogan so much, but there have been so many times over the years where I will just think about either church or work or some group and think it really is the people. It's not the building we're in. Sometimes it's the thing we're doing together, but it really is. I started going to F3 to work out because I wanted to drop some pounds and be able to run a mile without getting out of breath. But I keep going back because it's the people, because of the friendships I've made. And that probably is much more of a personal disposition, I would think.
That's great. That's good to know. It's good to realize about yourself and the way in which you sort of become attached to a place and then in some ways kind of inseparable from it. More so as you get older, more so as you get towards my age rather than yours. You're a young man still. I think that's a good place for us to wrap up. My guest today has been Josh Herring of Thales College, and he's been telling us all about his life in and around Wake Forest, North Carolina. Josh, thanks so much for being on The Sower today.
So glad to be here with you, Chris.
If you enjoyed this episode of The Sower, please share it with a friend and rate us 5 stars. Go to our website, ciceroniansociety.org, for more information about our activities and mission.